You know, the computer hackers and spammers are getting more and more clever every day. How clever? I'll give you a few examples.
Welcome to another episode of The Computer Tutor. Tips, tricks, and advice from a computer pro without all the tech talk. And now, here is your computer tutor, Scott Johnson.
Welcome back once again. Thanks again for joining me today. This is the Computer Tutor Podcast, and my name is Scott Johnson. And in this podcast, I try to show you some really cool things that you can do with your computer that maybe you didn't think you could do before. I also try to show you some things to watch out for, which is what today is about. I do computer repair here in Florida, and by remote access, I work with clients all over the country, and I've been doing this since 1999. So if I can help you with your computer, I'd love to. Give me a call at 727-254-9078, or you can email me at pctutor@gmail.com. And if you haven't already done this, I encourage you to go over to my website and sign up for my free Monday morning email newsletter. When you do that, I'll send you my 30-page guide called PC Lockdown, How to Keep Your Computer and Data Secure. That's totally free just for subscribing to my Monday morning emails. And today's computer tip can be seen at my website, and that's at computertutorflorida.com/078. So let's get started. One of the ways I come up with topics for this podcast is just from my day-to-day situations, you know, things I see happening just from being in the computer business. And today's podcast is a good example of that. Over the past few weeks, I've been in contact with a few of my clients who have ended up with some kind of virus or malicious software installed on their computer. Now, this wasn't because they were out searching on the web for pirated music or, you know, browsing around some sketchy websites or something like that. Of course, if you do those things, it's very likely that your computer will get infected. But these people weren't doing that. They got bad stuff installed on their computers as a result of an email. I've seen several of these situations recently, and I found it interesting because I was kind of under the assumption that the typical computer user knew about scam, spam emails, and that they were all just junk and you shouldn't click to even open them, much less click on a link in the message or open an attachment. I mean, this kind of thing's been going on for so long, just about everybody must know about it already and just avoid it, right? Wrong. It's true that public awareness about this type of thing is much higher than it used to be, but the spammers are aware of that fact, and that means they've just had to come up with better tricks. They've had to think of more creative ways to get people to open their spam emails and click on something in there. And apparently it's working for them because people are still opening those junk emails, reading them, and then either clicking on a link that leads to an infected website or opening an attachment that right away installs a virus. So I thought it would be a good idea to showcase some of the ways these criminals are getting unsuspecting people to click on their garbage. Today I'm going to show you five ways the hackers and scammers are trying to trick you into getting infected. And to show you these, I didn't even have to look any further than my own spam folder. Now, I use Gmail for all my email communication, and Gmail has an excellent spam filter, so I rarely see any junk email in my inbox, but there sure is a ton of it in my spam folder. So here they are, five popular ways the scammers are trying to trick you. Number one is the "You've won the lottery" scam. Now, I know what you're thinking. Come on, Scott, that one's been around for so many years. There's no way people are still falling for that. Well, people are still falling for it. Think about it. If no one ever clicked to open it, the spammers would just move on to something else that is working. In this email, the subject line is something like, "Your email is one of 200 lucky addresses, blah, blah, blah." And it goes on to explain that you've won like $500,000 or $1 million, and you just have to click to fill out a form and claim the money. Now, if they think about it logically, they might consider the fact that lottery winners are not chosen by their email address, and they're also not notified that way. But this particular scam takes advantage of the fact that people will more easily believe something that they really, really want to believe is true. You figure someone gets that email one evening and maybe they've been out of work for a while, behind on the bills, maybe collection agencies are calling every day, and then this email says that they're now a millionaire. Now, obviously, they know it's probably not true, but, you know, there's that tiny little thought in the back of their mind that holds out that tiny little hope that maybe this is going to solve all their problems, so they click that link. You know, it's the same concept that makes overweight people continue to buy the newest magic weight loss pill. They want to believe so badly, they just kind of push logic to the side and ignore common sense. That's why this email can continue to circulate and people will still continue to fall for it. Number two is the Your New ATM Card scam email. This is where you get an email, supposedly from your bank, saying that your new ATM card or your debit card is ready for you. The way you should react to that kind of email is to say, that's odd. Usually when my new debit card is ready, they just send it to me. They don't email me to tell me it's ready. Or here's an even better reaction. That's odd. I didn't even order a new debit card. But there it is, that official looking email, including a very convincing depiction of your bank's logo and that attached file just begging to be opened. Now, for some people, their curiosity is stronger than their skepticism, and they open the attachment, and that's when the computer gets infected. Number three is the "We can't deliver your package" scam email. I remember the first time I saw this one, and I thought, okay, these guys are getting pretty smart now. This is an email that supposedly comes from some company, like Walmart or Costco, or it could come from a carrier like UPS or FedEx. The email says that the company has your package and they've been trying to deliver it to you, but there's a problem with the address. And of course, guess where you can get all the details? In the attached file. I wonder why they can't just put those details in the body of the email. Well, because that's where the virus is in the attachment. Now, the clever angle to this is a good percentage of people that get that email and read it actually are expecting a package to be delivered, so it doesn't even occur to them that the email might not be legitimate. That's what I mean by the scammers thinking up some pretty creative ways to trick people now. Number four is the "We're just trying to protect you" scam. This one probably most often goes to Gmail users, and it's supposedly coming from Gmail or Google. The email says they've noticed what they call illegal activity on your account, and because of that, your account is now being monitored. Once again, the logical response might be, if my account was not being monitored before, how was this quote-unquote illegal activity detected? Well, in any event, they want you to fill out a form to re-verify yourself. And now, in this case, clicking through to the form doesn't actually infect your computer, but the form asks you for all kinds of stuff, like your full name, your email password, your social security number, your date of birth, you know, all the information that makes it possible to steal your identity. And a lot of people just send that information off without even thinking about it. That's why spammers and scammers make a lot of money. I don't know how they sleep at night, but they do make a lot of money. And number five, this is the one that I call your legal documents scam. This one still sort of plays on our natural curiosity, but it also introduces a new emotion into the mix, the emotion of fear. Just think about it. Who doesn't get a little bit nervous or even scared when something shows up from a lawyer or a court secretary? The subject line in this email scam is pre-trial notice. That alone gets a lot of people thinking all kinds of crazy thoughts. Am I being sued? Who's on trial? What have I done? It's really just a great subject line that's designed to get people to open the email, and it definitely works. But then the email message itself takes a different direction. Turns out this so-called court case was originated by you. That's because the message starts out like this. Hereby, we confirm that your complaint has been received together with the enclosures dated January 31, 2014. Notice that they use a recent date to make it appear more legitimate. The complaint will be reviewed in court in the nearest possible time based on the documents and information you've previously provided. So at this point, anyone reading it is probably feeling a sense of relief since it now appears you're not in any trouble and the cops aren't going to come breaking down your door any minute and arrest you. But still, what's going on here? You don't remember filling out any complaint with the court. Maybe they've gotten you mixed up with someone else. Well, the next paragraph starts out with the primary call to action. It says, please use this link to check your complaint once again and confirm it. And that's when it happens. Click the link and it's game over. Now, really, if you think about it, a court secretary will not contact you about a case through email. They typically do it by regular mail. And if it's something really important, they'll send you a certified letter. But the content of the email catches people off guard and they just click the link without really thinking it might be a scam or a virus. So that's five ways the bad guys try to trick you. But wait, there's more. I have a bonus for you, a sixth way you can get tricked into getting a virus. And I couldn't do this podcast without including this one. I actually think it's one of the most clever ones. And in fact, one of my clients just got tricked by it recently in the last couple of weeks. This one is what I call the so sorry for your loss scam. In this clever little trick, you get an email from a local funeral home. It looks very legitimate with the funeral home's logo and everything. The message is offering condolences on the loss of your friend and letting you know the date and time for the memorial service. Once again, the email is designed to catch you off guard. It's very important that you're confused, because when you're confused, you're looking for an answer, an explanation. And conveniently, the email message provides a link for you to click on that offers all the details about this situation. My client clicked that link and her computer got infected with a virus almost immediately. You know, there's an interesting side note on this one. In the email, the name of the funeral home is the Eubank Funeral Home and Cremation Service. This is an actual company based in Canton, Texas, and they've been in business since 1926. I can imagine they're not too happy about the scammers picking their company name to use in these emails, because they've been getting a lot of calls and emails about it. In fact, on the home page of their website, in big bold red letters, they have this statement: urgent warning, a fake funeral notice appearing to come from Eubank Funeral Home is circulating. It is not from Eubank Funeral Home. Please do not open the link, as it is spam and may contain malware. Please do not call us to report this. So I hope hearing about all these clever tricks and ways the scammers are trying to trick you is helpful. One thing's for sure, these are definitely not the only tricks they're using. These guys are evil, but they're also pretty intelligent, at least some of them. So they'll continue to come up with new stuff. Just remember to always be suspicious whenever you're checking your email. All it takes is just a quick lapse of judgment and one little click of the mouse, and then it's too late. Don't open an attachment unless you absolutely 100% for sure know what it is. And don't click a link in an email unless you absolutely 100% for sure know where that link will take you. And before I close this episode, I wanted to read an email I got this past week from my friend Charlotte up in Maine. Charlotte sent this message to some of her friends, and she copied me on it. Here's what she wrote. I gotta tell you, my computer guy, Scott Johnson, is the greatest. If you don't have him, you're not having the best. No kidding, I love this guy. I tried to find the item he wrote about Windows 8, and I couldn't find it. You can see he wrote it quite a while back. So I emailed him to ask how to find it. Well, in nothing flat came back his reply. I've spent some bucks getting him to bail my sorry little techless butt out of some scrapes, and he always fixes it. And the money was more than worth it. He's kind of like a good doctor who helps prevent problems, not just fix them. In the current gruesome customer service climate, it's just too special to have someone who really serves his customers. When I worked at the Land Trust, Scott and I were in the Waldoboro Business Association. Then he up and moved to Florida, but is totally accessible due to the miracle of modern technology. Well, thanks very much, Charlotte. I appreciate that. And what she's talking about when she says totally accessible with modern technology, she's talking about my remote support service. I work on her computer in Maine while I'm here in my home office in Florida. And you can get all the details about how that works over at my website at computertutorflorida.com/remote. It's the next best thing to being there. And I don't have to shovel any snow. What a crazy winter you guys are having up north this year. You know, that's a part of Maine that I don't miss at all. Well, that's it for another week. As always, I'll see you back here next Monday morning with another computer tip.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Computer Tutor Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to contact me with a question, a comment, or a suggestion for a future topic, you're welcome to do so at my website, computertutorflorida.com. And while you're there, sign up for my free Monday morning email newsletter. If you have a computer problem, give me a call at 727-254-9078. In many cases, I can take care of a problem remotely, so it doesn't matter if you're here in Florida, up in Maine, or way out in California. I'd love to help. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week. God bless.